Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
But on his Wikipedia page, it says, in 2000, Sokolidis announced that his real name is Alexei Ledkov, and he is not of, what is it, Caucasus Greek descent as previously believed. So I don't see any follow-ups in reporting here, but I guess we just kind of just let that one go under. And
did he play for their national team?
That was all in 2000. So I don't know if he announced after he was done with them or what, but he played for the Grizzlies after 2000, and his jersey said Sokolidis. Did not say Ledkov, obviously. So I don't know how that came to be, but I would like to find out exactly what really happened about Jake Sokolidis and to Jake Sokolidis.
My guy knows. He says Jake is from Rostovi, Georgia, dual citizenship in Greece.
Okay.
And he was around.
But what about the name situation, though?
I'm not sure, but he is listening.
Right.
Again, yeah. I don't think there's a cover up here.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just.
This is information that people do know. We just didn't know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You're kind of.
People knew that his name was not Jake Sokolidis.
You're kind of going Dateline here. I don't know about all that. I'm just saying they seem to know his background and that he has dual citizenship.
Okay, but why is his name not Ledkov?
If he was relevant enough, we would have known.
I mean,
and again, it's more evidence why you should not be holding him up in the way that you are.
Yeah, your beloved former Grizz, who he walked so Zach could run.
This man said, "I came in with Sokolidis. That's when I started paying attention to the Grizzlies."
That's right. That's a fact. That is a fact. I mean, you know, you don't have to like it, but you got to learn to love it.
That is an exaggeration and embellishment.
No, that's when I came in, bro. But. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see. I'll be looking for Ledkov on the Grizz Summer League roster.
Yeah, this man said that my Yao comp for Edie is better than any Jake or Edie comps because, again, we're talking about a 300-pounder.
No, I agree. I'm just saying
Jake was big. Jake was tall.
Jake was big.
Right. He was big, not this big.
No, he's definitely not. I'm just saying that, like, Jake was a guy that I appreciated. For his,
a little bit too much.
Maybe so, bro. I mean, I'm a big fan of the guys who wear that uniform,
and
especially
again,
the early years.
Shout out to Mark Fleming and Sub Sokolidis, Substack.
Sub Sokolidis.
Substack.
Sub Ledkov. All right, we'll come back. Norton Hurd IV is going to join us. We'll talk to him, get his thoughts on Peach Jam this summer and more. Jason and John, are you trying to film? Yes. Hey, so real quick, my birthday is tomorrow, obviously, and there's an urban legend, like a myth that. I'm just going to use what the myth is. Heterosexual men will do anything but say happy birthday. They come up with a bunch of different ways to say it, like happy G-Day, another year around the sun, cake and candles, you know, whatever. Like, so will you say simply happy birthday or will you say something, variation?
I do find this to be somewhat interesting. Because I am... As we know, a heterosexual man.
As we know, yes.
47. And I tell people on Facebook, I was doing it this morning, happy birthday. And sometimes I struggle with whether or not to put the exclamation point on it, just for the sense of cheesiness or whatever else.
What's gonna put the
period? Does it need all that? Am I really screaming happy birthday?
Right.
But I have no problem saying it as a
right
heterosexual black man.
Right.
Mixed yeah man, whatever you want to make me.
You determine what you are.
Again,
I'm not going to put that on.
I have no problem with it. Really don't. And I think verbally, if it was Brad's birthday and yours is tomorrow,
right,
I don't think I'd have any problem telling you.
What about in a text?
I think easily text, no problem. Like I think texting and the posting is easier, right? I think what you're discussing maybe, and the harder thing to do it verbally. I don't know. I see a lot of that another year around the sun on Facebook and stuff. I do. I just put, happy birthday to my wife.
Right.
Happy birthday to y'all.
Exactly.
It's not a problem for me.
No, but you do see a lot of
struggle with the exclamation point.
Happy G-Day, Grand Rising. You know what I mean? Like, what is mm-hmm Grand Rising? Who started that, bro?
I've never seen Grand
You've
Rising.
You've never heard somebody say,
no,
like, it's
that's
like their way of saying good morning, Grand Rising.
Oh.
Like,
that
what
makes
a,
sense.
What
makes
a ridiculous.
Sense.
But you never heard that?
It's not promised. It is a rising every day.
Is it really that
not
grand?
Promised
though?
That you
it's
won't
not
rise.
A Grand Rising Queen.
Grand Rising.
Yeah, you never heard that, bro?
No, I haven't. That's new. That one's new for me.
Yeah.
That trip around the sun, though, very popular.
It is.
Among folks I follow and my wife.
No, I definitely always, I always just say happy birthday. I don't really struggle with, I don't do the Facebook happy birthdays because I don't, I might, if I see the, it's this guy, if it's a certain person's birthday, like it's a reality of just like me being on the air all this time. Like I have so many friends that are not my friends. They're just, they're just people that listen to me and add me on Facebook. It's just the reality. But if it's a friend, I'll see it. I was texting him, no problem. Happy birthday, bro. Hope you have a great day.
Now, let's talk about grown men having birthday parties.
Okay.
When Ronald McDonald comes over and we do the cake and everything else.
Yes.
Like at some point, usually, a grown man will just say, you know what? I'm just going to do dinner. I don't even want to party anymore.
Right.
Because now we're just kind of to myself.
Right.
I'm old. You clearly have not reached that point.
Yes. It depends on the year. It depends on the year. It doesn't happen every year.
You're very social. Even though maybe those that don't know you and that you don't know would think the other way.
Correct. Well, it depends.
But once you're in John's circle.
That's right.
He's going to ask you to come to his birthday party.
That's right.
And it's going to be fun.
That's right. But it's also, what I would say is different about it is that it's also the 4th of July, right? It's also.
Oh,
So it's a.
I'm glad you brought that up. That is important.
It's two things.
So it's a celebration of two things.
It's like so.
It is. So again, I can't argue man having birthday
party. It's more
party
about the 4th of July than it is my birthday, right?
When you have 4th of July,
no, I'll say this,
and we would be out for anyway.
Exactly. So I would say this, it's kind of unfortunate.
I see.
People think having a birthday on the 4th of July is great because everything's the fireworks and all that stuff and I guess on some level it's pretty cool, but it's also kind of hard because a lot of times the people that you would like to spend your birthday with are not in town. They go out of town. They go to the lake. They go with their family on a vacation. They go to Florida. They go. So I've had so many years where I've asked people to come spend the day, whatever. And they're like, man, I can't,
traveling.
Exactly.
Summer vacation.
And so that's been the case since I was a kid. You know what I mean? Like, since I was just a small kid.
Yeah, but the advantage of always having the day off from work, no matter what day it falls on.
That is true.
And we're not talking Christmas here.
Right.
Where it's right, all your gifts come on one day, and everybody else gets 2 days.
Right,
you're the one that gets gifts on July 4th, the only one.
That's right.
So I could argue a lot more pros for it.
There's a lot of pros.
Then you got cons, brother.
Now let me ask you this: Were you before you met me a big 4th of July celebrator?
No. If I'm doing any celebrating, I've been invited to, or let's take the family to the fireworks. I am not gonna. You know my deal on fire. I don't look to have a get together.
Right. Okay.
It's not something
And
if need be,
right,
I will celebrate at home by myself.
You will celebrate.
And frankly, very comfortable doing that.
Now, will you reflect and explore in the same way that you might?
No, not Juneteenth.
So it's a different.
That doesn't mean the same thing. No.
It does not.
Well, not really.
It's the same but different.
Celebrations of two different things.
It's two different freedoms.
No question.
Two different freedoms.
Very well put. Two different freedoms.
But still freedom.
And I don't know that we've explored the first one enough, have we? Some of us have.
No, I think we're going to need future days
off. Some of us were still learning. And again, some of us admitted we learned it late in life. Why? Because it wasn't in the history books. But back to the point, still need more exploration of Juneteenth.
Well, again, I...
And so even more reason
not
why
to, like,
I'm taking that
not
one
to
right
go
now.
Into this, but they do not teach, or I should say did not teach, Juneteenth in school, right?
No, it's very important that they did, that to make that distinction, because, again, it's why so many of us grown adults didn't know about Juneteenth.
Right.
Until we're grown.
They taught us the Emancipation Proclamation.
Yes.
But we didn't know about Juneteenth.
That was nearly two years later, I think, that...
Yeah.
You know, down there they found out about it in Galveston,
yes.
Texas.
Yes.
They were still slaves.
And I think that's definitely, like, I would say of the school system, that was definitely probably a blind spot because, you know, you okay, yes, Emancipation Proclamation, Civil War is over, slavery ends, but it really didn't.
It didn't end.
It didn't.
But that's what they told you in the history
books, right.
Exactly.
And so
Johnny came away, little Jason came away, thinking, okay, that's where it ended,
right.
And celebrate. Didn't end right there at all, and there were still plenty of people suffering for years
exactly.
in slavery afterwards.
And also, I would have liked to have known, just as a person who likes to know about history that just on its own, like, what was the unwinding, like, the logistics, right, of slavery ending? That you never really found out about. You didn't really learn about, okay, slavery ends. How does it look? How does the process go?
Mm-hmm.
Right? What about the people that had literally...
Well, there's many that were so invested that were not about to let it go,
yes.
even with the ruling.
And, like, okay, so slavery's over, so now what?
Mm-hmm.
What about for those families that at least, again, I'm not saying that it obviously was very wrong, but they had living arrangements, right? They had so now what? So now we're, you know, that's stuff that I can't remember history telling me about.
Well, it didn't.
In school. You know what I mean?
Well, it didn't.
So I think that's the part of it where...
And I think in a lot of ways probably still doesn't. And in many ways it's probably still it's a responsibility of ours to teach the next generation about Juneteenth, because I don't know that it's now been incorporated into many more. I would imagine it's more visible now than it used to be when you and I were coming up because it's a federal holiday. We've recognized it.
Exactly.
But I don't imagine you're spending a great deal of time on it. It's probably still a responsibility. Again, until we get it in there. You know, I think you've laid out, and we've laid out why it's important.
Yeah.
But, no, man, I hope you – listen, you know my deal. I'm going to have to sit it out. I'll wait on 34, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
Again, it sounds like you're going to have a great party.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So. It'll be what it'll be, and, you know, like you said, it's different.
Family, cornhole.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, man. I don't need – you know, you don't need me.
No, Sam's family, because we got the kids baptized, right? So
– Brad didn't know I'm down to one car either, I don't think. See, my plight, so
– Right, you're legit.
You're down to one?
Yeah.
As a family?
Yeah,
oh.
As a family. As
oh,
a family,
no. What
just down to one.
Didn't you have an
– Engine on the Cherokee went out.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, that thing's relatively new.
Yeah, bro. 50,000 miles I put on it needs a new engine. So how's that possible?
Oh, man, I'm so sorry, Jason.
I know.
That is hard.
And my pilot lights are out of my water here.
That was really just the insult to injury.
Couldn't meet anyone to talk to my kid last night. It was just another, you know, another trial and tribulation, brother.
That's right.
But we're getting through. And praise God, we've got Faith's car to get us around. What if we were having an Uber everywhere else, right? So God is providing, even through tougher times.
God gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers,
now,
bro.
Now you,
that's what they say.
That's a true statement. Again, I don't think you're using that in a trying to be, I feel like, in a funny place for some levity.
I don't know.
I'm not sure you're really applying it to me.
I'm applying it to
you. Feels fake here. That's
no,
that's all
that's
I'm
real.
Saying.
It's
right
a
there.
Tough battle. It's a very tough
not
battle.
A battle about a car. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We still got got up this morning. We're still got, like I said, we got four wheels.
I mean, you
wheels.
Got sold a lemon.
Even
I mean,
though
that's a tough
even
battle.
Though there's more of us in the four wheels, we still got four wheels at least to get around, so praise God for
that's
that.
That's right. Yes.
Country's going to celebrate its independence tomorrow. We're going to celebrate John's 33rd birthday. Some of us there, some of us in spirit. Sounds like it's going to be a real tight-knit family gathering.
That's right.
That's the way you should do it now.
That's right.
That's the way you should do it.
Yeah, listen.
Celebrate what you have.
That's
celebrate your independence.
So true. So
the Martin family independence. How you migrated from Arkansas and came out of those deep roots.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and how we, again, we were freed from the terror,
Osceola.
Terror of you know, England, right?
Yeah.
And Britain, you know. I mean, that's what it's really all about.
Right.
That's what it's really all about is that. I mean, we're going, you know, 1700s here. But that was a terrible time. That was a terrible time in our nation's history. You know, so for us to have broken out of that, you know, and become what we are today, I mean, it almost brings a tear to your eye, doesn't it?
It does.
You know, it's
so we'll be doing, what, 250 here in a minute? Then we do the bicentennial 1976. That would have been me, right? Bicentennial
yep.
baby. But then 250 will be coming
2026?
Up.
2026?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll be celebrating 250. Now, that'll be big.
No, it'll be huge. It might be our last big hoorah. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know. Some people are just saying that democracy has fallen with the latest Supreme Court ruling. I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll just find out. But yeah.
No, it will be big in 2 years. That'll be a big one. That'll be a big one.
Yeah.
For the country.
It will. You know, every day feels big for the country these days. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Caught
up.
Yeah, it should be. I hope everybody. Unfortunately, we did not. I'll say this. We have an update on Terry. He's doing well. That's what we've got in. That he's doing well. Wondering about backup.
Oh, someone tweeted.
Yes,
those, yeah.
Yes, that Terry is doing well. They ran into his aunt at the post office, and that he's doing well. So that's great. That's great. Back up, Terry. One more year. One more year of backup Terry. Hope he's safe this weekend.
We certainly do.
All right, we'll come back. Norton Heard the Fourth is going to join us. We'll talk to him about Peach Jam this summer, his plans for the Fourth. Lots more to come. Jason and
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping, and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs, with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
John, how do you turn a fam? Yes. Norton Heard going to be here in a little bit. In the meantime, thanks for being with us here. As we're all, I know, no question, looking forward to the long weekend for the 4th of July. And July has hit us, ladies and gentlemen. It is hot, it is excessive, and there ain't ish going on. But we're going to make the best of it. Interesting format. WNBA is doing this all-star game where it's the world versus the WNBA all-stars, right? It's Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, lots of other players. But it's also, it's them versus what? Like Olympians?
Is Team USA?
Yeah. It's Team USA. Yeah.
Yeah, which is a really...
world. I meant Team USA.
Which is, you know, the team that's headed over to Paris, obviously. The team that we talked about that Caitlin Clark did not make. The one, obviously, including Diana Taurasi, among a great many other veterans. I think our girl Kelsey Plum's on it as well, and she shined last night for Vegas. But, yes, that team will take on this this team of all-stars of WNBA that includes Reese and Caitlin. And so, very rare, you know, we get the rare chance to see Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, who are clearly rivals in the WNBA, and especially as rookies as they are pitted together in a Rookie of the Year race that, oh, by the way, might be getting closer. But those two will get a chance, the rare chance to play together against these old vets that, you know, that are playing for Team USA. Not that everybody playing for Team USA is older, but, of course, Taurasi at 42, I believe. What would this be, her sixth Olympics? She's among the headliners. And so, yeah, it'll be a chance for Caitlin Clark to show Team USA what they're missing out on. She has not shot the ball really well recently. Let me tell you what, John, as a point guard, bro, she had like 13 assists the other night. So, I mean, you know, it's going to be a race, though.
And I will say,
if you're paying attention to odds, but what's called catching her.
Well, I don't think she will, but I will say this for, because we didn't talk about it after it happened, but on Sunday, the Indiana Fever beat the Phoenix Mercury. And after the game, Diana Taurasi, who of course plays for the Phoenix Mercury, was incredibly complimentary of Caitlin,
yeah,
for the first time. And maybe it was a situation where, she wanted to go up against her professionally before she gave her any kind of flowers. She did that, and she was a rebound away from becoming the first rookie in the WNBA to ever have a triple-double. I mean, that's why I'm just like, you know, I get that, you know, Angel Reese has the double-doubles, but she's not going to be the Rookie of the Year. Like, she's not going to get the votes. You don't have the votes, and you won't have the votes. you know, if this is a media vote, I don't know how the WNBA does it. I assume it's like that, but I just don't see her getting enough media votes to overtake. And now their team is playing better, right? Fever's team is playing better. That was their first win over.
They got schooled by the Aces, though. Didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, look, you're gonna have that's gonna happen.
And sides are still being heavily criticized, so we'll see. Yes, they're playing better than they were to start the year.
Yeah, they're bad. I mean, they're not a good team, but they're very young. And outside of Aaliyah Boston and Caitlin Clark, they ain't got nothing. They're pretty thin. I mean, I guess Kelsey Mitchell, you would say, but you know, she's been in and out of the starting lineup. You know, the coach has been critical of, you know, the way she's she had like Christy Wallace ahead of her in the starting lineup. I mean, I'm up on all the tea. I'm up on all the Indiana Fever tea.
Yeah, you've kind of jumped in, haven't you? All 2 feet in.
Yeah, I know what's going on with our girl CC for sure.
Well, I like this. It is the 2024 WNBA All-Star Game that has Team USA playing this Team WNBA that's comprised of 12 players that we said the number 1 and 7 picks, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, will be the only two rookies on it, it looks like. The rest of them will be other WNBA players that are not on Team USA. It's July 20th in
right.
Phoenix. It'll be a heck of a game.
It will
One
be.
One thing about these women, they are chippy. They play, it is very physical and chippy, and has been this year. And a lot of that's had to do with these vets sort of indoctrinating these rookies. You've seen a ton of it. Angel's gotten pushed around, not just her and Caitlin's little battle, but
yep.
Angel's gotten pushed around by vets. Caitlin, we've seen it too, seen the comments afterwards. So I would suspect there's going to be more of that too, as you have these young rooks, Angel and Caitlin, you know, trying to show these vets, hey, you know, at least for Caitlin, you should have had me on the team. And them trying to show them, you know, put more continuation of them further, putting them in their place, the initiation process.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I like that. That's why, and I texted you, we should go in the NBA All-Star Game, World versus Team USA.
Didn't we do something like that?
And that would make it
much
more.
I thought we might have done something like that.
That would make, I mean, Hoop Summit, we did it. I don't know if we've ever done it at the All-Star level. But that would, you put Luka, Jokic, Wimby versus Ja, Ant-Man, Anthony Davis. Now we're getting into some pride with the world versus American basketball. Reason to watch, so you're motivated. It's a real game because there's really something on the line.
So they've talked about that. So Adam Silver actually in March.
He's declined to this point, I thought.
They are discussing that moving to that format of the All-Star game.
My understanding is that he's declined to this point, but that now he's at least listening.
Right.
You talk about instant pop. Because even, again, the idea of this Team USA versus this WNBA All-Star team, you know there's going to be a pride on the line that you're not going to have to fake. With the NBA, that All-Star game's gotten even faker. And so this is automatic motivation. Automatic motivation.
Yeah, and we're going to be joined here by Norton Hurd in just a minute. We'll sort of get him in, you know, during the segment. It's going to be.
Well, Sane doesn't agree. Says it would be trash. Now, how could it be trash? Luka and Jokic versus Americans who would then have something on.
Well,
the
yeah,
line.
Because what happens is in the Olympics, yeah, we steamroll them, but it's broken up, right? Like. Jokic might play for Serbia and Luka might play for Slovenia and Giannis might play for Greece, but what if they were all in the same?
Bro.
Like the U.S., you know what I'm saying? Like
yes.
that's
and Wimby from France. You're going to put all the world's best against your best.
That's right. Speaking of the world's best.
That's not successful.
Speaking of the world's best. I'm going to miss something if I do his intro, Jason. I don't do it nearly as well as you do, man. And I think
I got to get him plugged. I mean, we're going here. I had to get him plugged up with headphones and everything. Norton, we've done a very poor job preparing for you today. But he is Team Thad Program Director and Coach, Black Coach Association, all circuit select. What he did last season on the EYBL circuit, he's back on it this year. EYBL runs July 13th through 21st. And Hurd and Team Thad are a top seed in its second best record on the circuit. Also, one of Silver Wave Media's top 100 most influential people in men's college basketball. You can follow him on X at Dream Big Hurd. He's on IG at I Am Coach Hurd. Those are all of the details and the intro. Hurd, wouldn't a all-world team versus Team USA and fix the NBA All-Star game? So if you did Luka, Jokic, Wimby, I guess we're going to get Giannis. He'll represent Greece, right? Maybe. But my point, the world stars, all of them versus Ja, Ant, AD, Zion to be all of America's best. You telling me that don't add that? Wouldn't that add an incredible amount of attention and attraction to the NBA All-Star game?
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be great. It'd be very competitive. I don't know if
something would really, man Anthony Sane just texts us, it'd be trash. I think he's thinking, okay, typically when Team USA, as John pointed out, goes against other countries, we bash them. But if you take the best from each one around the world, the way we've seen the world catch up, how is that not a hot ticket?
It wouldn't be trash. And actually, the world has a really good chance of winning.
Yeah, I mean,
you leaving out names like Shea
Alexander.
We ain't
got the Canadians. Yeah,
especially if you let them go.
Gilgeous Alexander, you're right.
I mean, their team right now in the Olympics, I don't think is going to get killed. With him, Jamal Murray,
Dylan,
R.J. Barrett, they have like Maple three Mamba. All-Stars on that team.
There's somebody else too we're leaving out.
I mean,
Zach Edey, but they'll have Olynyk.
Olynyk. I mean, I thought you was finna say for the world championship, like
no.
Olympics.
No, I'm talking because we got to this because the WNBA for its All-Star game is doing the USA team that's got Taurasi and all them and everybody except Caitlin versus a team of WNBA All-Stars for their All-Star game. So Caitlin Angel Reese gonna play against Team USA. And I think, just out of that, you think, okay, that's awesome. There's going to be some stuff on the line, a little pride on the line.
Mm-hmm.
But coming out of that, and it's been discussed, I mean, Silver's talking about this has been brought to him as a way to fix the NBA one, ours, the NBA All-Star game. If you did it, Luka, Jokic, the world versus our American stars, man, that puts automatic pop back in it. You know how we've been trying to motivate them to play a real game? This is a real game off top.
Well, you know, coming in on the back end of it a little bit outside of listening, you guys, y'all do a great job on the radio. I still think the bigger problem to that, Jason, is that's why I think the USA team against the world would be better, because I don't think it's a problem in competition. I think it's a problem of just guys. I don't know if they're going to steal for the All-Star game. I don't know how more serious they're still going to take
it. That's fair. It's not for a medal.
Until the last 3 minutes. I think if we were doing it for, like, the Olympic, kind of how they do the we do it in high school right now, like the Nike, it's the Nike World thing where like AJ and them goes
the Hoop Summit. Yeah,
thank
I was talking about it earlier. Yep.
Yeah, so if we did a version of the Hoop Summit in the real world and just get the four best teams, regardless, you know, because you're gonna need more than just one American team. You're going to need two. And you're going to need more than just one world team. You're going to need two because it's going to be. And I think that would be very competitive. But the All-Star game, I just feel like it's more about, because we still got the best players in the world playing in the All-Star game anyway. And it's split it somewhat fairly. You know, the West may have a cover.
You don't watch it, though, anymore, do you?
I watch it.
Nobody watches it. Nobody's watching that thing.
I watch it, but it's not to the point. Like, I used to, like, cancel workhouse and practice for
it,
rush home.
Yes, man, it was competitive in the fourth. They would stop playing and then really get down to business in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, go get wings like I did for Super. Like, I don't do that. Like, if I get there in the middle of the first quarter, I'm not mad. Mm-hmm. I'm not rushing in the house making everybody cut it on. Like, you know.
You would rush home to see our new format, I think. Luka and Jokic versus John Ant and AD.
I don't know.
American center can we get on our All-Star team?
Well,
Bam or something. I don't know.
And B gave up his rights to be an American.
He gave up his rights?
Not his rights. No. He chose that door. Yeah, I forgot I'm on the radio and around John Martin.
You're right.
Yeah.
Embiid, to be honest, he's a flip-flopper because he said he was going to play for France, and then he said he didn't flip
that's
to the
USA. That's what I meant. He gave it his door.
Yeah,
so
I don't know if he's going to pick world or us. It may depend on what the lineups look like with Embiid.
Which he want to win so bad. I think that was I'm happy for us because we got to dominate the way they did our other team. But I think that was a weak move.
Really?
Yes. You just coming and finna kill it. It made America too dominant. I think it would have meant more if he took France deeper.
France and Wimby and Embiid would have been something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they got a lot of guys, right? I mean, Koulibaly, they got
all the draft
picks. Yeah, the new guys.
Sarr and the rest.
Rishashay.
But I think the world games will show the world.
Because we're not skilled, and you blame your counterparts in grassroots basketball. Mm-hmm. Do I have that right?
So that is what some people do. And after the draft, I looked at a week of listening to radio and articles about how great France was skilled. All I'm going to say is that we go clear that up when America play them this summer and beat them by 80. And then we'll see how close France is getting.
What would Jasper Johnson do versus France?
Let me play devil's advocate. So the argument would not be that our best is worse than their best. It's that their middle is better than our middle. That top to bottom, they're more developed than our top to bottom is. That's what I think what people are saying, that we'll beat them with our top 10 versus their top 10. But if we go to 10, 15 to 35, we might be at a disadvantage. I don't know if I agree with that, but that's what people are saying.
I think it makes good talk for radio, and I know you and Jason are good writers too, and I think it makes good take for writing. But that's the most ridiculous thing I've heard. That's almost like telling the best championship boxers, if you put one hand behind your back, I can beat you with a one-handed fight. Saying,
right,
all right, 10 to 30, who cares about that?
I agree, you're
going to put up your best against the best. And they was trying to say, with them getting these number one picks, that they were getting close to surpass. They weren't trying to say, I mean, now the way you just described, you're saying your floor is better than my floor. I mean, who really cares? I don't think that scares America.
Mm. John schooled me on something earlier. I've been looking at too much TikTok and social media, apparently. I thought Bryce was going to be a real prospect. Mm-hmm. But he's going into his senior year, the other James' son. Mm-hmm. He's going into his senior year, and right now it's just Duquesne. I remember him. He was on the EYBL circuit here in Memphis. What is he? Is the ceiling lower than old Jay Smooth thought? I've been schooled here. We only got Duquesne. Have you played against him and shut him down? Are you part of the reason why he doesn't have a lot of more offers?
I played Bronny a few times. We on the other side of the bracket for him, depending on how deep we both make it in PJ, that could be potential. You know what?
I'm talking about Bryce.
Bryce, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Bronny is playing for the Lakers. So
yes,
I know
Bronny
that I can't play him.
Oh, it's my
fault.
I NBA thought I might have said Bronny, but I meant Bryce.
I'm not going to say he's bad. The thing about recruiting a LeBron James son is, some people also be nervous. Like, some schools don't think, so they get a lot of their stuff late. Even Bronny did. Like, think about it. Bronny didn't commit until
He's right. You're right about that. Ohio State.
And
a lot of people didn't get involved.
Didn't even get involved in it. I think the same situation here. I think he can go to many high-level schools, but I just think it's a point of, like, do they got a chance to process different? You know, you're not going to excite him by bringing him on an official visit. You probably can't even get in touch with him like that. Like, you can't just call LeBron James. You get what I mean? Yeah, so yeah. It's probably a process of different people you have to go through to even get to
him. His ceiling higher than his older brother or no? Older brothers put in. That's kind of what we were discussing, is that, you know, maybe LeBron waits till Bryce gets there, and then John had to school me on, well, Bryce ain't nothing but a three-star right now for every highlight you've seen on him. Is he? He's bigger, though. He's 6'5", 6'6",
yeah,
it looks like.
Yeah, he's taller, but I don't know if you remember this, John, though. Bronny was a three-star for a long time, 3-4-star, and then somehow before the Mickey D's game, he became a five-star and made the
Mickey D's
game.
It was that summer before, wasn't it?
Game, yeah. So, man, I think they both, you know, some good ball players.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's got a chance, it sounds like.
Chance for what?
To make it to the league. To actually play at college.
I mean, when he was born as LeBron James' son, he had a chance to the lead.
Well, to have a higher ceiling than his brother, who doesn't have his dad's body.
I mean, I'm going to say this. He might have a higher seed than his brother because the Lakers might get the 45th pick that year instead of the 55th pick. So then you would have to say.
Well, now I have a true understanding of the level he's at. You will not be invited to Bryce's birthday party, draft party.
No, but you will be, and that's what matters.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to try.
But
I'd like to meet Savannah.
I think you thought it was going to be like a 14-year-old birthday party.
Well, I had called him the one. And so, yes, when you kind of tell me he's only got a Duquesne offer.
He's the 117th player in the country, yes.
I do think Bryce James ceiling would get higher if he commits to Memphis, because Penny do a great job with skill development with pros.
Has he hired
him? He do a great job. No,
are you
I'm not saying this. A lot of people.
Well,
some
we
of
do
the
need
people,
a wing. We need a wing over there.
No, no. Some of the people in the draft. I'm not talking about what he do. Y'all keep going into records and stuff. When I say his name, don't think about just coaching and records. I'm talking about some of the people that was in this year's draft, even a couple first rounds, they came and worked out with Penny before the draft. So that's what I'm saying. And when we do get a Precious or James or somebody, your draft stock don't follow her. You might feel like the wins and losses are not where they're supposed to be. So let's, like, stay focused, because sometimes we go automatic to the record, a high minute Sweet Six. I'm speaking on his ceiling and development. That's it.
I know. You would sign Penny to a lifetime deal today. We know that.
You know, that's great. I mean,
loyalty.
Yeah, that's important.
Loyalty to what?
Loyalty to Memphis, not to Penny, but to Memphis.
Oh,
Penny
to
is Memphis.
Yeah,
so you
yeah.
are loyal to that.
Well said.
And as you would put it, who you going to go get?
No, I think, I know it ain't about this today, but I guess he
well,
said
you did
that.
Kinda,
every day it is about this.
That Penny said, what you going to do? When I'm through.
We 2 weeks past that. I didn't want to bring it.
You're going to fall.
I didn't want to bring it to that. I was just thinking he would do a great job with Bryce James. I wanted to keep with the development part.
It was amazing how you worked him into the conversation. I know you have great, great optimism that
exactly.
things are going to be okay.
Hey, I don't think
John is writing every day how tough it is for teams that return as little as they did in terms of from last season. They don't make the tournament like those teams.
It's never happened, actually. In the age of the transfer portal since 2021, no team that only returns 10% of their roster from a year ago, which
really?
Is, yeah, which is what Memphis has done 2 years in a row, actually, has ever made the NCAA tournament.
Hard, man. That's hard.
Never happened. So if Memphis does it, and they could, I don't rule it out, but I don't think it's like anywhere near the automatic that people in Memphis seem to think it is.
At one point, I thought it was automatic. I did, but yeah. I've had to pull back a little bit.
Yeah, like first of all, you don't know who's replacing David Jones scoring full time. That's a big problem. You know, yeah, you have good players that you brought in, but only one of them, maybe two of them, played any kind of instrumental role in getting and playing in an NCAA tournament. Right, I mean, Kobe Rogers, respectfully, never been a part of a winning program. PJ Haggerty, freshman at Tulsa. Musa Cisse played for 15 different schools, and not one of them schools went to the tournament. So, I mean, it's just, you know, these are things that you have to, like, factor in when you just say, like, oh, Memphis is going to the tournament. Bro, Memphis will not even be the favorite. They will not even be the unanimous favorite of the AAC.
Who will be the favorite?
They'll be co-favorites. UAB and Memphis.
Okay, Andy, he does a good job.
They really, it was a blow not getting David Jones back. It just wasn't.
No, that was a huge blow. I would say two things, though. There is still some quality people in the portal. I don't know what they're waiting on, but it still is. So it's still negotiation going on with Porter guys. So I don't believe this is the final roster.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I think he'll add something.
Yeah, I don't feel like this is the final.
But do you think he'll add somebody that is a
you talking about Jonathan
impact?
Lawson? Because the Kalumas and them are gone.
Kaluma's
and John
gone.
Said don't take Kaluma anyway because of how inefficient he is for the money.
I don't blame Memphis for not
and
paying
so
that
he's
tab.
Happy to have moved on. I'm just kind of bare out there. You sound like you know some names that you
still,
like.
No, it's still a fruit. The portal is still deep
I know
as heck right now.
Deep with quality?
I mean, it's still some quality in it. The last time
things worth adding, you're saying.
Yeah, because I have talked to some, you know, D1 coaches. I haven't even talked to Penny lately, but I didn't talk to some high major coaches, and they're still bringing guys in that they feel like have good quality in the portal. So I feel like that Memphis will add another player in too. And I get what you're saying, John, that those guys haven't played in the tournament. I don't think that means much. If like the point guard, if you have done well at a high level with high major, on a high major level like PJ have, I just feel like you put the right talent around him and right staff, and I think he can do something.
I'm not going to say he's done it at the high major level, though. That's where we're going to disagree, because I don't think at Tulsa, that's not high major.
Well, when you do it against a kind of like
he cooked Memphis, yes.
Yeah, like
he
I got from Memphis. SMU the year before, was that
Kendrick
Davis? They were saying the same thing.
I mean, fair enough.
He was so. But when you can score in college,
something
at a level like that,
but
Tulsa is still a high level. My bad.
No, I was just saying I'm kind of with both of y'all, but I think John, we went through the performances. Like he didn't have any big ones against teams other than, you know, set aside Memphis. I'm talking about big schools that they played the non-conference. All those. performances weren't great. So it is a level up, especially with the non-conference. They're
it's going to be North Carolina and UConn's
in the Maui. You know, that's different than what he played.
But think of this, y'all. I want to throw this on y'all mind, the people mind.
He lit Memphis.
The non-conference schedule was his first 10 games ever.
No, nah, that's a great one. Yeah,
yeah.
You're right.
As
a freshman.
Yeah, as a freshman. That was his first games ever. Now we put him, what he did the second semester, he is ready. That kid is ready for big-time competition.
We had asked you about him before, if you had gone against him on the, you know, on the circuit, or how much you knew about him before. Yeah. It's mostly just his time at Tulsa that you've seen.
Yeah, him. Yeah. Okay. And
you got that much belief.
Oh, for sure. In this conference, I think he will kill it. And two, this also, I know we play about Penny. Some people take it serious what he can and can't do, and I believe. But I think that for people who are critical to him, he can show both ways. He has a chance to prove a lot. Y'all just said y'all went through everything and nobody has never done it. Okay, Penny Hardaway had a seat, and if he's the first person to do it, I think that adds to his resume.
Yeah, no, it'll be impressive if he can do it.
I know he's motivated to do so.
Yeah.
Like, I don't question that part of it.
I just think you're sort of depending on, like, let's take it for you, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that you're building a team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's say you have a couple spots,
mm-hmm.
and you need somebody to come be your point guard, right? And you got two guys that are talented. One guy played for, Huey, Dewey, and Louie, right? And he's never won anything with his program, and but then you got one guy that's played for, I'm just going to throw a name out there, Boo Williams, and he's been a big part of their success, and he's gotten to Peach Jams before, right? Bro, it's not even a question who you prefer, right?
Because mm-hmm.
you know that, yeah, he really ain't done nothing, this mm-hmm. guy. He ain't never won nothing with Huey, Dewey, and Louie. You know what I'm saying? And that's Tulsa to me.
Mm-hmm.
Tulsa is Huey, Dewey, and Louie. And again, I'm not saying they had a choice. I like the Tyrese Hunter pickup because I know he comes from a Power 5, Big 12. He put up numbers,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm confident in that. I'm just saying where I do think it matters, because you would build your team out with a guy that's won at a meaningful level versus a guy that's won and put up numbers against scrub competition. It does matter.
No,
NCAA tournament experience or lack thereof can matter.
And then I would add to his point,
okay.
to kind of put you in the go two-on-one on you here.
Let's do it.
A little double team.
How important.
Let's do it. Brad coming in.
Having Jasper Johnson for 2 years, you got Jasper Johnson on one team, you then bring him back, and there's that continuity of having him. Who's Penny's Jasper Johnson? Like, that when you had a DeAndre Williams that was here for multiple years, it was sort of that. But otherwise, you're rebuilding with new dudes and trying to find that guy every year. And how you could, I mean, there's no arguing with you how important Jasper is to have him for a second year, how important that is to your team and your team's success.
No.
Like, Penny doesn't have that continuity even with the one guy.
Chemistry and long-term
always
go a long way. But if you can remember, people saying one of my best teams in history was last year, and I rebuilt their whole team from scratch.
Well, that was your first year with Jasper, right? Or was it?
Yes. Yeah, I played him up that year. He been with our program.
And y'all were incredibly talented, and you had Darion on maybe an NBA player.
Yeah, LeVarrant Bylon, Jaden Quain is three NBA guys, Larry
Jones.
That's
what I was going to say. Like, that was an immense amount of talent.
But back to both of y'all, what I would say is I think we treating NCAA tournament experience, we're giving it too much credit. I think we're giving it the credit like if you in the NBA, somebody got playoff experience. I just think because it's a one-game knockout, and some people only play the weekend, so we finna get them that much credit. They play one extra weekend.
It was the process to be in it. It was a process that you were on a team that was good enough to make it versus Tulsa, who was like sub 500 and lost to Little Rock.
Some people are role players on championship teams. I don't know if y'all watch Gilbert Arena podcast. He talk about it all the time. It's plenty of players that he's better than that won a championship, okay? So I get what you're saying. It's about team stuff.
Right.
But we do have two really, really good guards that can compete with most guards in the country.
I hope P.J. Haggerty, because I'm probably the lowest on him.
Yeah, I think he's
anybody.
He's too low on P.J.
I'm the lowest of anybody in the market because, again, he only played one Power 5 team last year in Oklahoma State, and he struggled. That's a very small sample size. I admit that. Like, I wish I had four or five,
mm-hmm.
and he cooked Memphis. But everybody was cooking Memphis last year.
No.
I mean, everybody had 27 against Memphis.
But it is – I don't care if everybody – it is hard. If you'd have been to a Memphis game, this is one of the most best atmospheres in college basketball when you do the white out and the blue out.
Mm-hmm. The best atmosphere coming here and eat last year.
And that's what I'm saying. But everybody who did it, you still got to have some heart to do it, because Memphis is still not, I don't care if we got the Sarge team or when you're, it is not an easy place to come play. It is not an easy place to come play. And you're in the FedEx Forum, you're in the NBA arena. This ain't like the Big East where they're used to playing the NBA arenas. I think we're the only people in the AAC with that arena. So to come here in front of all the, I mean, that's impressive.
Everybody else plays in a shed.
Yeah.
Including
Florida Atlantic, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's FAU. Like a
you know what? UAB
jack.
Facility is not bad.
It's decrepit.
It's have you old. You been up there?
They have upgraded it.
Okay. Matter of fact, I
Bartow
went.
Arena?
Yeah, the year that, I don't know the name of it, but the year that Damian and them and DJ and them, this was years ago.
Yeah.
Because people was complaining, why would Memphis take that game? It's before they was in the conference. They were too big to go. I don't know if y'all remember that a little bit.
I do remember it.
The crowd and
I hated
certain
it. I
coaches
hated it.
Didn't like it.
Yeah.
And that arena was pretty nice.
Well, yeah. I mean, I just, you know, I don't know. It's a bad situation.
It's on top of you. I mean, it gets loud, but it's a dump.
Well,
it's a little bitty coliseum.
You have a hard job because you have to come in here and you have to defend something that you didn't even do.
Right.
Right, I respect you for even trying to take the stand, because it's not like you assembled the team.
Respect.
But he literally turned it to Penny.
I
thought we was going to keep on about the James family. I didn't say today he did a great job.
I was saying that.
He could have, and then this just took off. Yeah. It don't take much. When you mentioned Penny Hardaway's name, it turned from a 10-second thing when you're just throwing in a little ad-lib into a whole segment.
I mean, this was less about Penny as it was the team he's got, right? I mean, this is about, you know, what they can and can't do next year, and what the odds and the history, using that as our guy, what they're sort of up against. But look, we're all thirsty for it, bro. We all want it to happen. So let's hope that it does and that he becomes the first man to do it despite flipping 90% of his roster. You know, I mean, that's what happened. I mean, that's just the facts of it.
Oh, we're going to hold you accountable.
Well, let me ask you this.
He doesn't want any questions.
It sounds like if he don't do good this year from the so-called experts in the odds, we really can't go against him, because it sounds like from this roster, from what I'm hearing, the experts are saying, team is not expected to do well or much.
No.
So
Lenardi's got him as a 9.
Yeah. Well, we're getting the hook here. I wish we had more time, because I would have come back and had a response, but we'll have to save that for next week, Hurd. Okay?
He'll be ready.
We'll pick that up next week, Hurd. He's the best. Norton Hurd, the 4th, team dad, program director and coach. Have a happy 4th of July. Long weekend, brother. Stay safe. Thanks for coming in.
Same here. Thanks.
We'll come back, wrap it up. Jason and John, Artie Turner Family, ESPN. Thanks to Norton Hurd, of course, for joining us there in that last segment. Always great to catch up with him. Hey, listen, have a fantastic weekend, man. Be safe. I know we got to worry about you, man. We got to worry about you on the Flintstone mode. But
I'll tell you, and Anthony's saying lucky man, because we had something for him next time we saw him. He's lucky man. We ain't going to see him
until next Friday.
That's right.
Well, you won't see him until ever, but it's going to be a minute for sure. Have a great 4th of July, everybody. Be safe.
Happy birthday, John.
Thank you very
much.
Happy
birthday, man.
We'll
enjoy yourself.
See, we can say it as heterosexual men.
Yeah,
very comfortable.
I'm comfortable with this.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, we're all good.
With
that's
the exclamation. Right.
Thanks very much. Jeffrey and company up next. Don't miss it. Thanks to Norton Hurd, the 4th, for joining us today. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.